our mission and purpose. Why do we gather on a Sunday morning? Why do you make time out of your day and schedule to be here? We communicate our mission and purpose in the statement that's on the screen behind me. And I just want to invite you to read it with me again, just as a way of reading it together. Let's do that. MCC mission statement is, as a faith family, we follow Jesus, bearing with and building each other up in love, so that together we can experience the living God and become channels of compassion and hope to a hurting world. What in the world does that all mean? Steve, I really appreciate his message last week on the first part of that statement. As a faith family, we follow Jesus, bearing with and building each other up in love. We talked, he gave some great pictures of construction that I didn't even anticipate in just kind of structuring the preaching the way I did. I just was like talking about building each other up, and the structures that support the church and the community and the family are the ways we care and love on one another, even through difficult times. And so I really appreciated that. And today we're going to look at the second part of the statement, so that together we might experience the living God. I want to share with you two stories. They are in your notes. If you want to follow along, we can just listen. Two different stories. First story, the story of humanity. A story of men and women since the fall. There was once a man named Uri. He lived in Israel around 700 BC, around the time of the prophet Isaiah. Like many did in those days, he lived in a rural agrarian setting outside of Jerusalem. He was a worker of wood, a carpenter. He earned his living through the trade, but he also used wood for heating his home, cooking, and other purposes to provide for his family. Uri thought that he needed more cedar trees, so he went and planted a bunch of more cedar trees. When they grew up, the rains came and the sun came and watered and nourished these trees, and the trees grew to the point where they were ready to be harvested. So Uri goes out in the field and cuts down these cedar trees. He's deciding what to do with them, deciding how to use these cedar trees. He decides to cut the tree in half. Half of the tree he cuts up and uses to burn for heating his home. The other half of the tree, surprisingly, he cuts up and carves into the shape of an idol, of a god, lowercase g. I hope the absurdity of that becomes immediately clear to you. Half of this tree he cuts and uses for firewood. The other half of this tree he makes an image out of and bows down and worships it. Don't miss that while our gods these days, our idols are not made of wood. They are no less than this idol of wood that he made. The idol that he made was totally dependent on humanity to be in existence. It was a wooden block. It had no power to save. It did not speak. It did not move. It had no activity on its own. And yet, It says he bowed down and worshiped it. Our mission statement says there in the middle that we together can experience the living God. The living God. I want to tell you a second story. So fast forward several hundred years, and a man named Ben, who was born in Jerusalem in the late first century, he's also a worker with his hands. He ends up meeting a group of people called the Way, otherwise known as Christians in other cities. He gets invited to one of their gatherings in one of the group's homes. And he ends up going, deciding to check out what is all the fuss about these people called the Way. He goes and he sits around the table with them, and they begin praising and worshiping God. And in the middle of their praising and worshiping, somebody gets a revelation. Someone gets a prophecy from God. And they begin to share it with the group. The singing ceases, and they begin to share this word with the group. Immediately, he feels as if this word is for him. It reveals a deep, dark secret of hatred for his father that he hasn't told anybody, and he thought was dealt with. This group doesn't know him. They've only known him for a few months. And yet God discloses the secrets of his heart. What happens then as this man falls to his face, repents, and worships the living God? I hope you see the difference between these two gods. The God of creation, the God of Scripture that we read about, has from the very beginning desired to be in a relationship with you, with humanity, with men and women. And so often, we end up serving things that cannot speak and cannot move and cannot act and certainly cannot save. We end up serving wooden blocks, though they take different shapes and names in our day. Why do I share this with you? Well, because the central part of our mission statement is that we're not serving a block of wood. We're serving a God who has from the beginning desired to be in relationship in our midst here. He desires to speak into this midst. He desires to move. He desires to call. He desires to encourage and comfort and convict as if he was sitting right next to you today. This is quite remarkable if you think about it. A God who put the galaxies, the billions of galaxies into existence, wants to speak into our gathering today. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Because we see throughout history, God has intervened and moved in the hearts of people. He spoke to Moses, it says in Exodus 33, as one that speaks to a friend. But he wasn't content just speaking through Moses or the prophets. He was not content speaking to the many through a few. So what did he do? Well, he came to us. God himself came into human history. We serve a living God. In the beginning of 1 John, we just read this last week. In the beginning of 1 John, it says that we saw him. We touched him. We beheld him. The living God who created the galaxies and all that we see and hear was there in their midst, such that they could grab a hold of him. Why do I say all this? I say this to emphasize the reality that God is in this place right now, today. And he might speak to one of you in a way that is beneficial to the group. And we're going to get into a little bit more of how we experience God together in our midst. But don't miss the reality that God wants to move, wants to speak, wants to be encountered in this fellowship, and has in different ways. A few scriptures that speak of this. Deuteronomy speaks of this living God who speaks to us. Do you see the comparison of the dead things of this world and the living God? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say and speak to us. The living God speaking out of the midst of a fire. This is the God who speaks to us. Long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke through the prophets. But now he has sent his Son. He's spoken through Jesus. God was not content being distanced and not experienced in our midst. Passage I just mentioned a minute ago, 1 John 1:1. Jesus has come into our midst in such that we can experience him. We touched him, it says. We saw him. We heard him. We can have a similar experience here in our midst as God speaks and moves. I've been convicted recently of the way we do church. Going off topic a little bit, the way we do church doesn't allow for God to move very easily. The Holy Spirit does not force himself upon us. He does not push himself into our midst, but he desires to move. And the way we structure this, sometimes, and I'm not speaking just this here, I'm speaking in large, at the church at large, the way we structure and control our gatherings is such that the Holy Spirit doesn't often have space to move. You see, we look at the early church, whether you're reading from Acts or 1 Corinthians 14, the early church, this gathering was an interactive, participatory event where everybody brought something. 1 Corinthians 14, I believe 30, says that when we come, somebody brings a song, somebody brings a lesson, somebody brings a revelation. It gives us this picture of a service, of a gathering that's interactive, that people are engaged with. Everybody has something to offer. Everybody gives to the body. This is the picture in 1 Corinthians 12, when all parts of the body are necessary. And we have really diminished the role of many of the other gifts of the body. Sometimes this is the only gift, or a few others are the only gift that receive any space to work and move. We come to the New Testament. Jesus has come. We come to the New Testament and we realize 1 Corinthians 3, God dwells in the midst of his people. So you have the Spirit of God living in you if you are in Christ, but he also says, Paul also says that in our collective gathering, God's Spirit and presence dwells with us. There is something special when we come together as a group, as a fellowship of believers. The God of the universe, it says, is here, right here. Collectively, we can experience God. 1 Corinthians 14 says, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit can be experienced in our midst. This is how God reveals himself to us in the fellowship. Now, how do we experience God together? Well, I've mentioned a few of those ways already. Prophecy, healing. You think of Acts 13, Paul and Silas are called for service out of the midst of a gathering of believers that are fasting and worshiping. 1 Corinthians 14, that story that I told of Ben, he's a made-up person, by the way. Ben is not real, but there's a story or there's a teaching in Scripture that says if someone's coming into our midst and we're all prophesying that the person's secrets, the secrets of their heart are revealed. And he says, surely, he falls to his face and says, surely God is among you. How did he experience God in the gathering of the church? Prophecy. A word from the Lord spoken through somebody else for him. That's how he experienced God that Sunday. What is prophecy? What is prophecy? Somebody out there. I know there's people out there who have a working definition of prophecy. A word from God. A word from God. Do you know that Scripture in two different places calls us to desire prophecy? 1 Corinthians 14 and I believe 39. Both call us to desire prophecy. Prophecy is simply a word spoken from the Lord on behalf of another person. But we don't give space to that. And I fault not you, not any of those in the pew for that. Church leadership has not done well at making space for the gifts that tend to give up control. It's easy to preach, and we should teach from the Word, but this is all tends to be so controlled, so choreographed. I'm going off script a little here. Please forgive me if I'm not following along with my notes. But all that to say is, as a church, as church leadership, we have not done a good job at making space for the things of the Spirit that are outside of human control. It's easy to want to control the environment, but it's a lot harder to give up control to something that is outside of yourself. And it's really easy, I'll just be totally honest, it's really easy for this platform here to stoke pride and self-exaltation in a way that diminishes what you all bring. Forgive me, forgive us, forgive the church leadership for this travesty. If we have diminished the role of the body in the body, forgive me. for that. Because clearly the picture of church is not something where we listen to one person speak. And I've been convicted, and we have been, you can see some of the ways that we're working to try to include more people. Testimonies has been something that somebody suggested, and we offer up as a way to show God is at work in you. God is living and moving and acting and speaking in all of your lives, and the body of Christ is much more than one person or two of us up on stage here. And so we're going to, by God's grace, explore some other ways to allow more space for God's Spirit to move freely among us. It might be uncomfortable at first. But I think it's clearly the picture God has for His church. Because what we've experienced sometimes here and at large in the church in America is nothing but a wooden block. And I say that as somebody who loves the church. I love the church. But there has been times in my own life here and other places where this gathering is nothing more than a wooden block. I say that with no condemnation towards you. I don't want to be a wooden block. Do you want to be a wooden block? Does anybody out there want to be a wooden block? Or serve a wooden block? No, I don't want to serve a wooden block. I serve a Lord and Savior who is living. That's what we sung. He's a living hope. What does that mean? But He speaks right into our midst. Living hope means that He is alive today and wanting to speak into this place through each other. How do we experience God together? We seek prophecy because it's God's voice. What is more precious than God's word? Well, He speaks through Scripture, but He also desires to continue to speak. And, of course, prophecy always surrenders to the written word. But we should be desiring prophecy. We pray for healing in people's lives because we serve a God who is living. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who declared Himself merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love is still a God that is in our midst right here today. So we pray for healing in people's lives. And we have experienced God's compassionate gift of healing in different ways. How else might we experience God in our midst? Prophecy, healing, any other ways you might think of. This is open for your input here. Again, this is not the one-sided thing we want, right? We want engagement. Salvation, we experience God's mercy in salvation. Hopefully we're experiencing that in our midst here. Repentance and conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit. And hopefully the Holy Spirit is the one moving in conviction and repentance and healing. I hope you hear the burden of my heart is not condemnation for any of you, but is a deep conviction in my own heart that the way we've done church is not the way we are going to continue to do it. And it's going to be ordered. It's not disordered. The end of 1 Corinthians 14 says that. God is not a God of chaos, but he's a God of order. So there is a balance there. But you all have something unique and special to give. And at this point, there's just not much space for it to be happening. So I am intentionally looking at ways where we are interactive and participatory in this gathering. There's still going to be teaching. There's still going to be some of the things that you've come to experience. But we will be creating more space for God to move. And that's the other picture I've got. And I want to move towards prayer, because one of the ways we're going to gather is just take time to pray together in groups. We're going to break into groups here in just a few minutes and pray. Intercede. But one of the things I've noticed in Scripture, when does God show up? When does the Holy Spirit show up? Well, he shows up when the people of God linger. The Holy Spirit shows up when the people of God wait on God. They're not quick to leave. They're not looking for a one day a week commitment. Acts 2:42-47 says that they continued going together, worshiping in the temple, and breaking bread in their homes. I just noticed that reality, like there was this going together in worship in a structured way, but there was also this giving of ourselves to one another that happened well beyond the structured times of our gatherings. And I'll just be honest with that. If you are looking for a one day a week commitment, this is not it. This participation is a participation in the body. I don't say that condemningly. I say that saying you're missing out on life as Christ intended it to be. If you are such that we're only experiencing the fellowship for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, there's so much more to be had than that. I love how you all linger after Sunday mornings. I love to see the fellowship hall and the lobby full of chatter. So continue to do that. I also might invite you to consider joining one of our other gatherings sometime during the week. It's been real good to pray together and be together on Tuesday nights. Saturday mornings, the men and women's group have been experiencing life in fellowship together through their phone calling, which you can ask Steve and others about that if you're not sure what that is all about. But they've been experiencing life in fellowship. And so all that to say, when we limit the amount that we give, we actually end up limiting ourselves, limiting the fruitfulness that Jesus wants to work through our participation in the body. The body of Christ is a living organism. And you are needed. You all are needed in it. So, I'm done speaking. I hope my heart has been clear. But I long to experience God more in our midst when we gather on a Sunday morning. Not a wooden block. That wooden block had no power. Would you expect a wooden God to speak to you? No. But that's what they did. But we serve a God who delights to be enthroned in the midst of his people. Delights to speak, to be heard. And so I invite all of you to consider ways how that might happen. If you have something the Holy Spirit puts on your heart as far as how we might engage in that more prophecy and healing and how we might engage in a participatory way, please We are open to that. But I want to invite some time for prayer now. I would ask that you circle up with 3 to 5 people who are close to you. You might have to move. And I thank you for doing that. If you're the one who's kind of segregated a little bit just in where you sat, I just invite you to move into a group of 3 to 5. And we're just going to spend some time interceding for this.